Good morning, Rabbi Yisai. So last week we went through the seventh meditation in Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh. The idea that our main purpose in life should be to find ways to find favor in Hashem's eyes. And he said the best way to do that is to treat Hashem like an absolute master, our only master. We have no other master. We owe allegiance only to him. And when we really believe that Hashem is everything in our lives, so we thank him and thank him exclusively. So by doing that, he said this was his great beautiful mashal. We had actually a tremendous political solution to all of Klal Yisrael's problems. He says the nature of people is that if a person, a great person, a powerful person, of course they're afraid of, but if a person is a servant, a representative of an all-powerful potentate, the servant himself is invested with tremendous awe in the eyes of the world. So to the extent that the Jewish people would only talk about God, and God, only Almighty God, our great God, the Agoyim would be so scared of us, because they know, number one, we would teach them what it means, Almighty God, and number two, they would know that we are God. Allah is all, Akbar means El Kabir. Akbar is Arabic for El Kabir. Allah is the most mighty Kabir God. So they, going around the whole day, the most prostagoy, the lowest Arab, the filthiest junk of the earth, so he's saying Allah Akbar, and he thinks he means it as much as he can understand. And that's they're fighting us, and we're not screaming Kel Elyon. We're not screaming the world, Hashem is great, the God of Israel is the true God. That's what we should be screaming when we shoot back. So that's the reason why we can't shoot back. And that's why they're not afraid of us. They'll throw all the rocks in the world, because we're not screaming Eloka El Kabir. They're screaming Allah Akbar, and we're not. It's a very simple formula. It's so posh, it's painful to admit. So he says, "Ulishteitin pasuk, ulisitcha elyon al kol agoyim." Hashem promises to make us elyon, to make us foremost, top, supreme over all the nations. Asher osa lesihila, ulishem uteferes. Hashem made us for His glory, and by us glorifying Him, we become the primary nation of the whole world. Very posh, he says. And then the world fears us. Am Yisrael v'achi korov elav mikol ha'amim. Let's remember that the Jewish people are the closest. He cares about all the 70 nations. Hashem made them all. But nothing comes close to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, our maila tiferes should be, our glory should be the highest glory of the world. The whole world should be strong enough to hand. But, and again, the pasuk Yikimcha Adonai Eloi Liam Kadosh, Kasha Nishbalach, Hashem should elevate you as a sacred nation, as He swore to you, Kisishmor as mitzvahs Adonai Lehechav Alach the Bedrochav. When you keep the mitzvahs, you go on His ways, and everything you do is identified with God. Then Verau Kolamei Aret, Kishem Adonai Nikro Lechav Yor Mimecha. Then the goyim will see Hashem's name upon you, and they will truly fear you. It's a pasuk of the Zach. And the fear will be a fear that is as clearly as everyone knows. I mean, it's like Hashem gave us a chance. Everyone knows that in 1948, the Arabs fled all parts of Israel for no reason. They were just filled with terror for the Jewish people. In 1967, us old timers remember 67. I was 48. I was just a little baby. 67, I remember very well. Everyone knows it was just miraculous times. It's not that we were frumer then. It's not that the Jews, unfortunately, were not screaming Kel Elyon then either. But Hashem gave us a miracle and said, I'll show you how it's possible that I can put a fear, an irrational fear in the eyes of the Goyim. And the Goyim just fell like dominoes in front of us. It was, everyone remembers, in the Six-Day War, we mamash forget what a nace it was. It was such a nace. It was such a miracle. Because I remember I was getting married right by the Six-Day War. And I'm telling you, we were so scared. When the first bombs fell on Tel Aviv, the beginning of the 60 war, I'm telling you, the first day when we didn't know what's happening, I thought that we'd have to cancel my chasna pashat. I thought there would be such a chorban. Never really, they were talking such a chorban of Eretz Yisrael, all the nations, mamish. All the nations around there, Israel, Jordan, Egypt, Syria, everybody's against Iraq. Everyone's ganging up in Israel. It was hopeless. It was absolutely hopeless. We really, the beginning, we were so scared. In America even. And then, 6 days. It's never in the history of the world such a war. Hashem wanted to show that if he wishes, Hashem can throw a fear into the Goyim. That 40 million, 50 million Goyim can be afraid of a little tiny nothing nation. But Hashem says, no, okay, now I showed you I can do it, but you have to continue. When you're an Am Kadosh, then, Ro Kolami Oret Kishem Adonai Nikro Alecha V'yorim Yimecha. Then they'll be afraid of you. So I'll never forget when I was younger, it was a Tyre Yid, he's a Tyre Yid, Rabbi Pinchas Briskman. he deserves the name she mentioned. He had no children there, but he was an Edom of the Skolya Rebbe, the Friedrich Skolya Rebbe. He was a Litvish, he used to represent, but he was a Rebbe in Tar Vadas, represented the Yeshiva Tar Vadas. He used to come down to Miami, and he used to always tell me stories. So he once told me a story that I think he said that who said this over on Purim all the time? Not Rabbi Chanan. Who said, one of the Gedolim used to say the story over on Purim all the time. He heard it in the Miri Yeshiva, maybe Rabbi Yuchim, thanks, Shanish. So he said, that's a story maybe you've heard, that the Vilna Gaon, everyone knows, was for a while put in jail. They wanted to destroy the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon was sitting in jail, and Reb Chaim Voloshiner came to visit his Rebbe and said, Rebbe, you should get out of jail. And the Rebbe knows what to do to get out of jail. The Vilna Gaon knew Seamus. The Vilna Gaon could have easily done something to get himself out of jail, like nothing. He knew Kabbalah Masis. And again, the story, I forget the Makor of the story. It was a very, this is not a Baba Maisa story. It's a real Makor. Went back to Reb Chaim Voloshiner. He had a Messiah right back to Reb Chaim. I just can't remember who he particularly heard. I've read my Ksavim someplace. I have to look it up. This is a very reliable story. Mishkan Baba Maisa. And it's well known that the Vilna Gaon told the Ger Tzedek when the Grief Patotsky was burnt to stake on the second day of Shuas, Avram, the Vilna Gaon told him that if you want, I can save you with Seamus. I could free you from jail, and you'll be out of here. And the Grief Patotsky, Avram, the Ger Tzedek, he said he'd rather die Kiddush Hashem. He's maskim, so he doesn't want to be. He'll stick to Derech HaTeva. He's happy to die on Kiddush Hashem. So the Vilna Gaon jail, Reb Chaim says, "New Rebbe, you should get out of jail." So the Vilna Gaon says, "What's Feldmeyer's in jail? I sit at home all day. I learn by a little candlelight, and the shutters are closed. And in jail, I sit here. They bring me kosher food. How many the Vilna Gaon kosher food? He's a kazayas every one kazayas every 24 hours. He sleeps a half an hour every 6 hours. What's the difference between him and his house and the jail? It doesn't make a difference. The Vilna Gaon. I'm okay." So Reb Chaim said to him, Rebbe, they're going to kill you. They want to kill you. They want to execute you. They have the capital crimes. They trumped up against you. So he said, I'll dial Kiddush Hashem, Adarabba. Very good to dial Kiddush Hashem. It's a wonderful thing. Reb Reis of Cairo was Makana, Reb Shlomo Malka. There's Reb Shlomo Malka, who was a very amazing, mystic person, who was killed by Kiddush Hashem by the Pope in Rome for inciting the Jews to make some kind of rebellion. He was a mystical person. Some kind of a very strange, but the mezuzah, the Beis Yosef was Makan, and he was zeichah the Dal Kiddush Hashem. So Vilna Gaon said, "I'll Dal Kiddush Hashem to find the Zach." Rabbi Akiva was very happy. Kol Yomai, well, the Vilna Gaon certainly can have. He's supposed to say, "But Kol Nafshecha." Every day, I'm sure everyone had it in mind a few minutes ago when he said, "V'Hatz Hashem Lekecha B'Chol Levavcha V'Chol Nafshecha." We all said, Hashem, please, I wish to be Zaycha, to give my life, my entire soul to you. I can't wait to die Kiddush Hashem. So the Gaon certainly was on Madrega. So he told Reb Chaim, don't worry. So Reb Chaim said to him, Rebbe, they want to trump up Miasa charges against you, something very disgusting. They want to say that you had to do, they want to say the ugly crimes. Not that you were a rebel. They want to come up with Hashem, even Zaycha. They want to say, he did ugly crimes with women, things not nice. And the Gaon heard that. Oh, he said, that's a Chilul Hashem. if they're going to say such terrible things about me, so that my being burnt at stake is not a kiddush Hashem, it's a chilul Hashem, because people say that those charges are correct. So the Vilna says, oh, Eva Zoy, okay, I'll have to do something, get out of jail. Okay, fine. So what's the Rebbe going to do? He says, don't worry about it. So not long after that, they take the guy in front of three judges who already had condemned him to death. It was just a question of just publicly making the statement. The Vilna Gaon came in, and the Vilna Gaon, of course, wore tefillin all day long, always. And he wore his talis and his tefillin the whole day. And all the tzaddikim and a lot of people went around talis and tefillin all day. It was not such, a lot of tzaddikim. It wasn't such a rare thing as today. You don't see people going talis and tefillin. That's very, extremely rare, and there it wasn't so rare. So the Vilna Gaon comes in front of the judges, and the judges, every one of them, were mean, nasty, vicious, anti-Semitic. They take one look at the Vilna Gaon. I forgot the word in Lithuanian, I have it written down. They saw the Vilna Gaon, they said, in Lithuanian or in Russian, they said, "Oy vey, what are you doing here? Stay away from us. Away, away, we're afraid of you. Why are you scaring us? Leave, go, just leave, go, get out of here." Because the Vilna Gaon wearing tefillin was such a pachad. Is Makuyam and the Pasuk, Viro Kalama Yarat Kishem Hashem Nikra Lech of Yar Mimcha. Eilu Tfilin Shebiroish. Of course, you have to have the Kedusha of the Tfilin. The Kedusha has to be Tfilin Shebiroish in your head, not on your head. Biroish. So they saw the Vilna Gaon, and the Vilna Gaon wanted that the Kedusha should be a Pacha Dika Kedusha, so they mamish sent them home immediately, and he was a free man. So the secret of Klal Yisrael's Hatzlacha is a very simple secret. It has to do simply being an Am Kadosh. When the world sees Hashem's name is on us, v'ro kolam yaretz k'shem Hashem nikra lecha v'yar mimcha. That's a klal by everything. Goyim in the street also, they wouldn't touch any one of us. The Yid goes around to Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the Nefesh HaChaim, that if a Yid, even without wearing tefillin, just goes around thinking about the Shem Havaya, if you're in a dangerous neighborhood, all you have to do is think about Yud Kei Vav Kei and say to yourself, Ein Oid Mulvadoi, Ein Oid Mulvadoi, Ain Oid Milvad, there's nothing but the Rebbein Shalom. There's no one but the Rebbein Shalom. And you have Shema Havaya in front of your eyes, no goy will bother you, the dogs won't bite you, you have nothing to worry about. So, this is the seventh meditation of the Chayvus HaLevavos. So we have to learn here that our main goal in life is to get close to Hashem and to be identified with Hashem. And that's the biggest glick we could have. So people spend so much money. Maybe somebody in the room here is going to spend their Sunday calling up different alarm systems, how to alarm their houses, getting, make sure that you fix your alarm. We fix your locks today. Well, it's not such a bad thing. I must confess, I have to make, I believe in locking my door. I do lock my doors. I must confess, I do lock my doors at night. As I'm a Drake, even a Muncie, I lock my doors. I do turn the latch. But I must confess that when I first moved in the house, somehow someone told me, make sure you put an alarm system in. So I spent a couple of $1,000s on alarms. I never had in my life an alarm system. I don't know why. I think maybe the insurance policy says I should have one or something. That's what, put an alarm system, and 7 years now, I haven't even turned it on yet. It's not activated, it doesn't work. So if you want to break into my house, you have a hard time getting through the locks, which aren't so fancy, but the alarm system is not going to scare you. My mezuzahs, Baruch Hashem, are intact. Those are my first wave of my first defense, line of defense. And secondly, I have over every door, I have a nice luluf. So in case you try to get into my house, you get a whack in the face with a luluf, fully armed with hadassah and aravah. It's a little dry, but they hurt more when they're dry. So don't try to get in, because my mezuzahs, my luluf, that's going to get you. I have no problem. But there's people tell me they're afraid to go sleep at night without turning on their alarms. I know some people really believe in those alarms. So it would be better to learn Einod Mulvad Lechaz instead of wasting time with the alarm system. So I'm saying, could be in that book. I'm not knocking anything. I'm saying it's like this. It's like the old story of life insurance and health insurance today. Life insurance is a questionable thing. Some people, yes, some people don't believe in it, etc. And health insurance, some people don't believe in health insurance. And I'll never forget, it's a true story, how when I was a bach in the yeshiva, the fellow used to collect for Tashbar, Rabbi Machlis was telling us a story about he went to somebody for money and they had no money. But they said, what we're going to do? You promise us that we believe that Torah is a Gavalta Gagona. Can you promise me that if ever you get sick, you'll have the kids in the Tashbar say, tell them for me? He said, yeah, of course we can have the boy sit on for you. He said, okay, I'm gonna cash in my health insurance policy, any equity I have, and you have some equity as that kind of policy, and I'm gonna, for now on, send you the premiums instead of to the health insurance policy, and you'll promise to say to him in case something ever goes wrong. No problem, promise. The person actually literally did this. A yid had such faith in the power of Torah and Tinagish based Rabban, they cashed out their health insurance and they sent the premiums every month to the yeshiva. And once they talk was sick and the kids said Tillim and they were fine. And they lived happily ever after. I don't know the end of the story, but by the time we heard the story, the people were living happily ever after. If you have real faith and you really believe that the Tashbar, the Tinagish based Rabban, their tefillahs can protect you, it will protect you, no question about it. So if you're nervous, it's not going to help. If you're not nervous, it will help. Like the Kotzker's Vort. On the one hand, the Torah says when you go to battle, it says, Mia Isha Yoriv Racha Leivav, a person who's afraid should go back home. If you're soft hearted, go back home. And the Gemara says, what are you soft hearted about? You're Averis, you're afraid of your sins. I'm afraid the Kotzker, it says, right the next pasuk, Shema Yisrael Yomata Meritzim Al Aleivechem. And Rashi says, Shema Yisrael Yidden, even if you're full of Averis, and the only schus you have is you say Kriyishma, the only mitzvah you have is Kriyishma, that's good enough for you to win over your enemies. So you see, you can be the biggest Baal Aveira, but I say Kriyishma, so I know I have a schus. Zok the Kotz, it all depends on your faith. You can have Kriyishma and Tfilin, or Ben Tam's Tfilin, and learn Kol Torah Kula, but if you don't have enough faith, and you go to battle, you're still scared, and you don't really have faith in your own mitzvahs, you should stay home. But if you're a Baal Aveira, but you can be a person can have Aveiras and Tivus and still have faith in Hashem. One thing is, I'm seduced by my Tivus, and my Midas rose, but I do have a lot of faith in Hashem. It's not a stira. Like the Gemara says, even a Ganif, who's about to break into someone's house, I feel a Ganva Pum Machtarta can say, he cannot be talking to their Banishtom. He can be a Ganif, not be talking. It's not a stira. So, if you have full faith in Hashem, even though you only have one mitzvah of Krishma, but you really believe that that's my amulet, that's my secret power, it'll help you. You won't die in battle. So the Chavetz Chaim says that we have to have, if a person, we should work on this Elyon, that Hashem is everything, Eina Melvado, there's only a Rabbi Shalom, and the more we only fear Hashem, then the less we will have fear of any other Koyach in the world. So this is the seventh Cheshbon of the Chavis of Levavos. The eighth Cheshbon is Azoy. So again, many of these Cheshbon sound very similar, and they're just nuances on the previous one. So he says, okay, so you have the eighth thing to think about is that I have faith only in one God, only in the Rebbe Shalom. Nothing, I can't count on anybody. I don't care who the person is, my best friend, it's a lie. Nobody, you can't have faith in anybody but the Rebbe Shalom. Dafka, the person you think is your best friend, can turn against you. In the Chafetz Chaim, I was just learning the other day in the Shmiras Haloshon, such a wonderful mashal, mentioned some people, such a wonderful mashal. Chafetz Chaim speaks about the Mekabel Lashon Hara. He says, a lot of people, you know, they're very honored. Shul, you know, some people in shul are very, stubborn. You know, every shul has the best mention than the normal people. Every shul has these people held very aristocratic, very chashuv. I even see, you know, that when they go over to a chabur, I see this, some guys, they walk up to a few guys during davening, after davening, in our shul it's only after davening, never happens, during davening, and they start regaling the oilam with stories and lashon haras and maises. And this guy is a chashuv person, you know. So everyone gathers around him, and they're so honored that he's telling them this nice, juicy shtickle. They're really honored. Like, wow, oh wow, we want to be in this. This is the guy to rub shoulders with, because this guy is a status symbol around here, you know. He's a status symbol. So everyone, well, yeah, wow, I know. Wow, he's telling me the shtickle. I'm in the chabur. I'm in the in crowd now, you know. I'm so lucky. He's talking about this. Wow, really? What a shtickle. I'm so honored that the guy is including me in his intimate circle of chashuva people. So the Chavetz Chaim, he says, the mashal is to the guy who was met in the street by a con artist. This con artist met this person years ago. So the con artist is a real con artist. He goes over to this innocent passerby and says, ah, Yankel, it's been years and I saw you, Yankel. Oh, wow. Oh, it's been ages. You know, I'm telling you, this is a yumpter for me. Yankel, wow, bumping in the street, this is not fun. Yankel, let's go for lunch. We got a schmooze, we got to catch up in old times. Let's go out. And Yankel, well, you see, he was like a yumpter. It's mamash like a holiday. I think we should go out to the fanciest restaurant. We're not going to go. They're not these cheap Muncie Jerusalem pizzas and whatever, these other places and sushi bars and Glatwak. This is for the pedestrians. We're gonna go to Manhattan. We're gonna go to what's the fancy place? Some place with La Marais. We're gonna La Marais, La Lavana. We're gonna La Lavana. We're gonna go La Casablanca. I don't know what, whatever. We're gonna go to some 5-star French glatt kosher restaurant, 6 stars. It's gonna be about 6 Magen Davids. We're gonna take you to the. We're gonna go out to the best. And you know what? We need a stretch limo to get there. So he calls a stretch limo, and the kids, so they go to this restaurant. And this con artist says, no, this is not, it's on me, I'm ordering the best. We're going to have a meal of the year, we're going to have champagne and wines, and whatever you want is gewaltig. And Mr. Innocent Bystander is having a great time. He's having stuffed duck and then saute this, and gewaltig, having a great time. After 3 hours of stuffing and eating everything possible and drinking, so our good friend the con artist says, oh boy, I'm so full. Pardon, let's go to the bathroom. And slips away, and he's gone, never to be seen again. Proprietor comes out. here's the bill. My friend, he's saying, your friend, where's your friend? He's not around. Well, let's wait around a little bit. And they wait a couple hours, the friend is not to be seen. And our dear innocent bystander gets stuck with the bill. He was conned into it. So the Chofetz Chaim, your good friend over here, telling us Lashon Hara, is really a con artist. Because Lashon Hara, when you come to Shemayim, they're going to give you the bill, you're going to pay the price for, here's a separate cheshbon, Hashem will get to hit him, but you're going to be stuck with the bill for the Lashon Hara. So what was the lovely meal of Lashon Hara that he served you so graciously, and he's like your best friend, and he's sharing all these intimate shtiklach with you, and wow, it's so interesting, and so gishmak, you know, and you think he's, oh, mamash wants to make you, give you the pleasure for the nice Lashon Hara, baloney, he enjoys pontificating himself, and he's not doing it for your sake, and you're going to be left, I'm going to be left with that bill, lots of lovely. Says nobody can trust. The people we think are our best friends, they want other things from us, a favor, a this, a that, just our company, like Rav Schultz, whatever the reason is, there's nobody in the world who is doing anything for us altruistically. Even our own parents, children forget about, but our own parents, they live vicariously through the children. Even parents, honestly, is not really pure love. Because they live vicariously through the children. They won't be lonely. I mean, let's be honest. Let's be perfectly, brutally honest. There's only one person, one power that loves us, mamish, pure, and that is the Rabbeinu Shalom, and therefore we should only look to please the Rabbeinu Shalom ultimately. It pleases the Rabbeinu Shalom that we should be good children to our parents, that we should be good friends to our friends, and good parents to our own children, and we should be good to the people, to everybody, fine. But everything ultimately, I'm doing this because this is the Ratzon Hashem. This is the 8th meditation. I only believe in Hashem. I owe nothing to anybody but Hashem. But Hashem says that I should be appreciative to those people who acted good to me, whatever the motivations were. So in Lamaisa, my parents brought me up, like David HaMelech says, Ki Avin Bimi Azavuni. And David HaMelech has a very powerful metaphor for that. Rashi says that my parents, after all, the act of procreation was essentially, they wanted children, but there was an element of self-gratification in that too. In other words, they abandoned me. Their full intention wasn't even to make me only in the act of appropriation. They had their own personal interests and desires involved as well. So even my own parents, even the very moment that I was created, was not a pure act of pure love of Hashem. And it was only by the grace of the good Lord that original seed of my parents was fertilized, and I was conceived by the grace of the good Lord, who had nothing out of it except for he wanted to give me the gift of life, and that was the purest gift possible. So the truth of the matter is the only person, the only power that ever gave us anything mamish altruistically, purely was the Rabbeinu Shalom, is the Rabbeinu Shalom, who gives us every breath. So why we put our faith in everybody else in the world? Why are we pleasing the whole world? We have to please the Rabbeinu Shalom. Please the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's all we have to do, please the Rabbeinu Shalom. Please, dear Rabbi Shalom. So running out of the house, you want to get the shul on time, someone calls up, we're afraid to put down the phone, I might offend them. I'm on my way to davening, and of course I have to be 10 minutes early to davening, so I'm sorry, I can't talk to you right now. We have a hard time putting down the phone because I don't want to think, I don't like them, but I'm on my way to davening, I'm sorry, I'll call you back later. We want to please their Rabbi Shalom more than anybody else, that's the only thing that counts. Pleasing their Rabbi Shalom. This is the 8th meditation. And he says, therefore, whenever we do a mitzvah, we should have only one kavanah. I'm doing this only to please Hashem and nobody else. I'm only here not to, I'm here to do the Ratzon Hashem. It really makes Hashem happy. It really does. I really want to make Hashem happy. I'm benching, not up to benching. I'm 1 second. That's why I'm benching. I'm saying Asher Yotzar. Oy, you have altogether gesagt Asher Yotzar. I'm saying it only to us. I owe my life and my health to the Rebbeinu Shlom. Why am I saying Asher Yotzar? I'm not just, it's not a routine. I wash my hands. I say Asher Yotzar. I have only one kavana. I believe that God is more important than my doctor. And I love my doctors, and my doctors are very good to me. I'm makar tova to them. They're very nice. My dentist, my doctor, whoever it is, takes care of me. I appreciate them to the max. But I should, if I would have that level of real, sincere gratitude to the Rebbeinu Shlom, when I say Refeinu, if I say Asher Yotzar, I would be a much better Jew, a much better servant of Hashem. So the eighth meditation is that I have to recognize, number one, who Hashem is. He's the whole part, he says. We recognize that Hashem has nothing physical about Him. Hashem has no beginning. Hashem has no end. We're supposed to think about that. Certain things not supposed to philosophize about Hashem. But certain things we should. Hashem has no beginning. He has no end. There's nothing but God. There was once a time in the Bria that there was no Bria. There's a time where there was no stars, no sun, no planets, no me, no grass, no tables, nothing but God. That we can envision. So last night was a very nice, clear night, right? If you looked up the stars last night, nice, crisp night, you saw this nice, clear, it's Levana, but after the whole night, every time I looked, Muncie was nice, Mamash, you can see the stars, the constellations, it was a while since I saw such a clear sky. You have to imagine that there was once nothing out there. It was black. There was no universe, no nothing, and there wasn't even an earth. And Ein Oid Mulvado, nothing but the Rebbeinu Shlom. Nothing. Adon Olam Hashem Alach, the Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. Adon Olam Hashem is the master of the universe. Hashem Alach who ruled. The Terem Kol Yitzir. Hashem was a ruler before there was even a world, before anything was created. How could there be a Leis Nasa Bechezekol? Azayim Alech Shemon Nikra. Leis Nasa, when Hashem made everything, He was called God. The only reason why Hashem made the world is so that we could call Him God. He gave us the privilege to recognize that He's the God. But He was God, and He was Melech before there was a world. Adon Olam is a merit to Gazak. Adon Olam Hashem Alach, B'terem Kol, Yitzir Nevro, Leis Nasa V'chefzo Kol, Azai, Melech, Shemai, Nikra. All the world accomplished was that God is called King. He was King before. We don't give anything to the bunch. He's the King, He was the Melech without us. He doesn't need us, but we have the world is an opportunity for us to call Him the King. So think about Hashem as no beginning and no end. Hashem Echad, Hashem is one, there's nothing like His being one. There's no creator but the Rebbeinu Shlom. And every, no matter how we speak about God, as His arms, His eyes, His Vayichar Apla, His anger in His nose, the wrath of His nose, His mouth, it's all anthropomorphism. It's only Lashem Neyadam. It's not really so. Hashem is beyond any concept. And although we have our childish idea that God is a Salam with a long white beard sitting on the throne, that's for the kids. We have to project our minds up beyond that, says the Chavis Levav, is a little bit more. Hashem is not some white-bearded person, Melech Yoshev al Kisei Ram Venisa. That's good for starters, but we have to realize that it's much more profound than that. And the Chavis Chaim and all great people, the Chavis Chaim I say only because he's close to our times, but no great man ever got great. No one ever got close to the Rebbeinu Shlom without spending hours, daily, weekly, just sitting in a quiet place, pondering the awesome greatness and endless magnitude of the Rebbeinu Shlom. Unless we have time, says, what is Hashem? Who is Hashem? I mean, what is He not? To go through the Yigil Malikrim, to think about the 13 principles, Chacha, of the faith of the Rambam. These are all, it says, how are you going to do a mitzvah, l'shem Hashem, if we don't think a little bit about the godless Hashem? So a person should have kavana. I'm not doing any mitzvah to get people should praise me. I'm not looking for praise. I'm not looking for any advantage to LS. I'm not doing a mitzvah because I'm afraid of people. Someone might beat me up or slander me if I don't do a mitzvah. I am do a mitzvah for no, absolutely no advantage. Don't do like servants who serve the master to get a prize. Be like servants who serve not for an advantage, just because this is what I was created for. I'm here to serve God. That's it. Hashem is the master. Hashem is Adon Olam. And I am His creation, created just for one purpose, to do His will. And I should think, he says, that remember also that Hashem knows exactly what's going on in our hearts. We can't fool God, he says. Remember one thing, you can't fool Hashem. When we say you should have kavanah, I'm doing only to please Hashem, you have to really mean it. Because Hashem knows every thought in our heart. Hashem knows that Hashem is mistakel l'toch levavam v'sisrei soydei seyem. Hashem looks into the deepest recesses of our hearts. Hashem knows the most mysterious secrets, our deepest, darkest secrets, which you wouldn't even share with our wives or anybody, our dearest friend. You wouldn't even share with your rabbi in the confessional booth. You would not share this with anybody. Even the deepest, darkest secrets, we're afraid to share with ourselves. We're afraid to even believe we did it. And we're constantly pushing that out of our minds. This is why people have mental sicknesses, all mental disease, really. The way I understand it, the way it comes from people having deep, dark pains deep in their hearts, things that disturb them, things that come and haunt them, and they have to get rid of it. So their minds go crazy as a way of blanking out and covering up. It's very simplistic, of covering up their deepest secrets, which they cannot confront and face, and it's too painful for them. So they do all kinds of aberrant activities and aberrant thoughts as a way to distort those painful old thoughts that come back to haunt them. So remember, Hashem knows everything in the heart. And the truth is, if we'll speak it out to Hashem, and you go into the forest, you go to the backyard, you go into a room, you sit in your car, and you speak it out to Rabbi Hashem, Rabbi Hashem, I know I did this and this 50 years ago, 40 years ago, please forgive me, Rabbi Hashem. Bibi Michael, I can't tell anybody else about it. I'm too embarrassed, I'm too ashamed. I'm really ashamed of you, Rabbi Hashem. You know everything about me. How can I hide from you? You know about it anyway. But you're my dearest father. You love me. You know me. You know me inside out. You know me better than I know myself. Rabbi Hashem, please forgive me for my old chatoyim. She says, a person who's really smart, really meditates intensely, he'll be talk ashamed of the Rabbi Hashem. But the shame is only to keep the sin inside and not talk about it. But the Rabbi Hashem, we can talk everything. You say the Pem Mali, you can scream it in the car while you're driving down the Palisades. No one's going to hear. No one's going to hear you. Believe me, no one's going to hear you. Keep those windows closed, though. And no one's going to listen. And you say, Rabbi Hashem, I this and this, I did this, Aveira, this and this, this I thought, this I said, this I did. Hashem, please forgive me. Help me to get out of my system. Help clean me up. And Yisakein as Pnimiyusai. The only way to refine and improve our innards is by having shame from the Rabbi Hashem. How can I live with this sin all the time? Hashem knows it. I'm not doing anything about it. I'm letting this wound fester by me. I'm letting this filth decay by me, and I'm not doing anything about it. At least I'm making an effort and tell the Rabbi Hashem about it. I'm sorry. I'm ashamed of myself. I'm ashamed of him. I'm ashamed to stand before him. And you know, this is Yiras, you can say Shema Kaleinu. So if you want Yishma Esri to get a little longer, so in the Shema Kalein is Yiratzon, there's Yiratzon for Pranosim, that's a very popular one, and there's Yiratzon on the right side to say, I did this and this sin in my lifetime, Hashem please forgive me for this and this sin I did a long time ago. And if you say that, it's not bad. And every time you say Shema Kaleinu, it's a good start to have a daily confessional with the good Lord. So therefore he says, know that Hashem knows everything, what our thoughts are. And then, when we realize how much Hashem wants us to be purified, we'll fulfill the words of David HaMelech, who said in Tehillim, Derech mitzvaysecha oretz. I will run in the ways of mitzvahs. In other words, says the Chavos Vavos, if we find that we're not running, and that we're schlepping our feet to come to shul, and we schlep our feet to get ourselves a pair of tittus, a menschlich pair of tittus, a new tie we have plenty of money for, a new shirt that we gotta get, new car we're running to the store. But the new pair of tzitzis, we haven't bought a new pair of tzitzis since before Bar Mitzvah, I'm wearing shredded tzitzis over here. I see sometimes people with shredded talis, and I'm telling you, it's like unbelievable. I love buying them a new talis. Give them a new talis, because that's a bazillion. People, everything in the world, they have time to buy themselves houses, everything gets remodeled. It's unbelievable. And they come to school with a shredded wheat talis, on the Bisco talis, I call it. You know, it's a shredded wheat talis. The talis is azalt, the fajab, the talis. It's yellow, it's ripping, the tzitzis are who knows what. And who knows what the tzitzis are got underneath the talis cotton, if they're wearing one. And who knows what's going on over here? Who knows what their tefillin look like inside? So he says, the reason why our feet are schlepping is because we are burdened by our own sins. The weight of our own sins and our own guilt and our own shame doesn't allow us to soar free like an eagle. But once a person says, enough, There's only the Rabbanim. I only have to please the Rabbanim. I don't have to impress people with my new fancy furniture and my new tie and my new car. I want to impress the Rabbanim. I'm going today, I'm going to have a new pair of tzitzit. I'm going to start someplace. Don't say, well, look, I'm so far gone. Look, I need tefillin, I need tzitzit, I need a bed of mezuzah, I need swarm in the house, I need this, I need a new chalukah for Shabbos, everything's such a mess. My Yiddish guy is very schwach. So I'm going to start someplace, do something. Pair of tzitzit, new mezuzah, someplace. And once you start cleaning out the attic, the musty attic of our hearts and our souls, then derech mitzvah secha oretz, then on the way of mitzvahs I'll run. Because I'll recognize then that my map of my life is the chaperein mitzvahs and to please Hashem. As long as the map of our life, the compass of our life was to please ourselves, then we're stepping our feet with Hashem. But if it's derech mitzvah secha, if my derech in life is mitzvah secha, to do the commands of Hashem, then it's our roots, I will run, I will soar, then I'll be a Zoriz, I'll come to davening on time, I'll come early to davening, I'll be running around, I'll take on new tzedakah projects, I'll be a mensch, I'll learn Shmias HaLoshon, I'll learn to more Torah, I'll get a chavrus, I'll go to the yeshiva on Sunday, there's plenty of yeshivas, plenty of chavrusas, plenty of kailims, what to do, that's it, enough of this lazy life of mine. You have to watch Gedolia Yisrael just to realize what Gedolia will accomplish one day. When I think of what people like Rebellia Svei or Shmuel Kamenetsky accomplish in one day, where they go and they do so many mitzvahs, and they go here and they collect money and they do and they give shurim and they help people, and the Menachem Avil, and they go to Simchas, they go to Chazas, they have the whole cycle of life. And they have the learning, and they have mitzvahs, and they have tzedakah, and they have been on the chaver, been on the makam. I don't know where they have time for all this. They're running here, there. All the gedolim, all the rebbes, they just. I can't accomplish anything that day. Before I know it, it's supper time already, and my time is all squandered. Because I'm living life for me. Well, time is relative. If I live life for my selfish, finite life, so this is this world. Time goes real fast in this world. But if I'm living life for the light of Torah, so Einstein taught us the rule is the closer you get to the speed of light, so then time goes slower. So then you have more time. It's mamash, the theory of relativity is always got 100%. The closer you get to the speed of light, time slows down. So for people living to be by the speed of light of Torah, Eiraisa, for those people, they can accomplish in one day what we can accomplish in 10, 20 days. They have time to give shurim, they have time to have chavrusas, they have time to talk to people, they have time to do this, time to do that, because it's derech mitzvah secha oretz. When it's derech mitzvahs, then they run, and they're mizrizus, and they're running to the speed of light. And when you run, the faster you go, time slows down. The faster you go physically, and you get closer to the speed of light, then time slows down. Thus is the Yisoid in the Chavos. Rabbi, so we'll continue next week, Mitzvah Hashem. Have a wonderful week, and keep running.